Well, last week I shared at the beginning of the service about writing down some goals. And many of you said you don't have goals, which is I am totally fine with that. But then I went through I got a new planner, which is really exciting. So I got my new planner, I'm writing things down. And I went through them one by one and ranked them in order of importance. And one of the goals stood out. It was my number one resolution, number one focus for 2019. And I realized if I get this first one right, there's a good chance the rest of them are going to fall into place. So let's look again at Psalm 27. Again, I love David. David, definite flawed person, made some big, huge mistakes, massive mistakes, but had a passion for God and a heart for God. And in the Psalms, he just shares his heart, and it's really some really good reading in there. So I encourage you to look at Psalms this year. But Psalms 27, verse 4, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek, inquire for, insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence. And that's really what he's saying, to be in God's presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness and delightful loveliness of the Lord, to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple. And so this is my main goal for 2019, is to spend quality time in his presence, to do my best to have a daily devotional. And I'm really been praying about this and longing and desiring for this is for Good News Church, for the majority of us, and higher than that, that we would have a daily devotion, have time with God every day, spend time with him. And if we will do this, we can do this, our marriages will be stronger, our families will be better, relationships better, it'll help our schools, our businesses, they'll be transformed. And I believe by year end, I mean, a lot can happen in 365 days. I can say that we'll be different people. And so who's kind of taken the challenge and maybe stepped out this week? Good. I see a good bit of hands. Now, there's two key components to a daily devotional. And we're talking about getting to know God better. Two ways to be more intimate with him. That is studying his word, reading the Bible, studying the word of God, and through prayer. And prayer is just a fancy way of saying talking to him. We know how to talk to people, hopefully, and have a conversation with somebody. Well, that's what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God. And it's not only talking, but listening. And this is the amazing thing that many believers don't even know today. God is speaking. He's speaking through his word and by the Holy Spirit. And he wants to share with you about all kind of things. The scripture says about the Holy Spirit, he's going to show you the future, show you things to come, help you in any kind of area. I mean, he's our creator. He knows how things, he knows how everything works. And he clearly makes it known he wants to get information to us. The Bible calls that revelation. He wants you to know things. He doesn't want things to be a mystery to you. He wants you to know. And so when you spend time with him, he's going to speak to you and share things with you and things that will be helpful. And so it is a time of talking to him, but it's a time of listening. And it's no coincidence he gave us two ears and one mouth. Is that a sign? He could have given us, you know, two mouths and one ear. That'd be kind of strange. But anyway, but we're made to listen, and he's speaking. But we need to take some time and listen to what he's saying. One chapter that talks about these two things, the word and prayer, is John 15. I want to read that again. I just love this these words here. John 15, verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Isn't that amazing? Live in me, and I will live in you. God wants to live in us. We're to live in him, and he wants to live in us. That can happen. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. And I want to have a fruitful life. I want my family to be fruitful. I want this church to be fruitful. And it's just clearly says here, the only way we can have that, to be fruitful, is to abide in him, to be closer to him, to be vitally connected to him. And so that's my prayer for 2019 for you, to be vitally connected to him. That it's not just something that happened in the past. It's something that's happening every day, that we know it. We know he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and can continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. The word of God and prayer go together. If you are in the word of God, studying the word of God, meditating on it, prayer is not complicated. You fill your heart up with his word and just basically repeat those words back to him. It's not hard. It's easy. But you've got to be the person that to initiate. You know, you've got to open your heart to him and make that effort. When you produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. So who wants to bear more fruit in 2019? Be more fruitful in your life? Then we need to be connected and intimate with him. So we're starting 20 days of corporate prayer. And this is separate from our own individual time with him. But I thought it'd be wise to share some things about prayer today, about corporate prayer, as we start that. We started this morning, and the schedule is in the bulletin. We have something planned every day. But let's look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4 is talking about the body of Christ. We are a body. Did you know that? That we're all connected. We're the body. Christ is the head. So it's talking about this body. Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we should no longer be children. God is training us and teaching us, and there's a growth to that training. Just as, I am 56, I've been calling myself 57 and 58, but I'm 56. And, you know, I am not, I'm not in diapers. I don't sleep in a crib. I'm not fed by a bottle. You know, there was a time that was the case, but I've progressed and I've grown. And right, Susie? Yeah. hopefully, I'm a man and matured and doing the things that go with my age. Well, there's also growth for us spiritually. He doesn't want us to remain babies. He doesn't even want us to remain as children. No longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. Everybody say, grow up. Grow up. Turn to your neighbor and point at him and say, grow up. No, I don't want to. And I want to tell you, if you come to Good News Church, you're going to grow up. We got a good diet here, healthy diet, good exercise program, essential vitamins, all of the right nutrients to help you grow. Our mission here is empowering people to give life. Is in order to give life, you have to grow in this life, and that's what we're working on. Grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Every joint. Everybody has got a supply. Everybody's got a part to play. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth. When we're, all of us are doing our part, that builds up the body. God wants His body here to be strong. He doesn't want just a few of us to be strong. He wants the body to be strong. And that happens when we each contribute, when we each do our part. Causes growth of the body and the edifying of itself in love. So as we're beginning 2019, I got a word for you. It's time to grow up. It's time to, yes. It's time to grow up. And it's time to bring your supply. And so I'll go a step further. It's time to take your place in prayer. And that it not just be something that you always wished you could do, or maybe one day, or when I get things together, I'll be able to do that. No, this is your year. This is the time to take your place in prayer. Now, when you're running a household, and we've raised four kids that are actually married now, and hopefully they're able to do for themselves. But when you have a household, everybody's got duties and responsibilities in that household to make it run. And if someone's not pulling their weight, what do? I'm sure it's different at every household. Hopefully it doesn't involve cussing or kicking. That we speak the truth in love. That's the Bible way. But it's to motivate that, you know, and we don't go around kicking people. And hopefully we're not cussing anybody out here at Good News. But we do speak the truth in love, and that's what I'm doing now. Is everyone has certain duties and responsibilities for the cause. And if someone's not pulling their weight, something's got to be said. And so I'm saying it. Okay. And I have my notes. It's time to put on your big boy pants. There comes a time when, and now is that time. And all of us, and this is part of the problem we have with the church today, is the believers are not walking in their responsibilities. They don't know who they are, what they have, or what they can do. We call it your identity. Those are things that we teach here, you know, who you are. But part of being a believer, part of being a minister of reconciliation, part of being an ambassador for Christ is to walk in your prayer ministry. You have a prayer ministry. Take your finger and point it at your face and say, I have a prayer ministry. And bless God, I'm going to walk in that prayer ministry. Say it, bless God. I'm going to walk in that prayer ministry. And not pass the buck to someone else. Well, that's their gift. Now, there are people that I think are called to have a extensive prayer ministry, but every one of us is called to pray. And so I'm speaking this by faith. I'm speaking by faith that this is the year majority more. I mean, how about 90%? Maybe that'd be better. To have a daily devotion, but are learning and growing in their prayer life. And the only way you learn to pray is by doing it. We can read all day long, and we can hear sermons all day long and give it lip service, but the only way to learn to pray is by praying and doing it. And for if you're just starting, it's uncomfortable, you don't really know what you're doing, but you have to start. And you have to start and practice and try. And if you give God something to work with, the way I say it is, you open the door just a little bit to God, He'll come flooding in. The Holy Spirit will help you. He's in you. He will help you to pray. He will bear you up. He'll help you with your words, help you to listen. But you've got to open your heart to Him. And so I'm praying that every one of us will go to the next level in our prayer life. If it's safe, if it's a scale of 1 to 10, no one's at 10. But for every one of us to go to that next level, and for some, maybe it's to 1 or 2 or whatever it is. But that's okay. But let's do this together. Let's encourage each other. And so take this opportunity. We're starting this 21 days of prayer, and seize this opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. Kelvin, come on up here, will you, please? Now, we've done 21 days of prayer before, and we did it last year. And was it the one at the beginning of the year? Do you remember?
A little bit later, probably March or so.
And so, tell us what happened, Kelvin. I mean, you took the challenge.
Yes.
And you did the 21 days. And share why you did that. What was the result? What happened in you?
Okay. Well, it started in churches like we're sitting here now. And when they announced the 21 days of prayer, I said, I don't know, maybe. Then something inside said, don't be a spectator, participate. So I decided to come. First day when we started, it was about my needs, my wants. But as time went on, it wasn't about me anymore. It was about all of you, our church, our pastors, my family, our friends. And something inside of me, like you said earlier, you start praying, and you, like I said, about myself, but then it turned about everybody else. It wasn't about me anymore. Yeah. And then the confidence came. And the last day, Pastor Susie asked, what did you get out of this? And I said, something kept coming to mind, wisdom, discipline, and patience. Wow. And it didn't make any sense, but as time went on, it came together. The wisdom came from the Word, by spending more time in the Word. That's what it meant to me. Then the discipline, being more consistent with my prayer life and what the Word said. And the patience, waiting on God. So that's what the 21 days did for me. And also, it's not a Christian cliche, prayer changes things. It does. Because in my life, there's no confusion in my home. We have peace in our home. Wow. And we want to be an example to our friends to have that same peace. And also, when things come up with my siblings, I'm the oldest of 4 siblings, I know exactly what to do. We pray about it and leave it up to God. And so the anxiousness, anxiety is gone. So that's where I got it, 21 days.
Praise God. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Case closed. That was good. And for me, we had different days of prayer all throughout 2018, and I had some really serious challenges in 2018. Anybody has some things there, you know, family, ministry, other kind of areas? And I can honestly say that as I went through it, and they were hard, and no doubt. I mean, there were some days I gave in to, you know, complaining and whining, but I just sensed God's presence throughout all that we faced, and all every situation, and doesn't always work that way, but every one of those things that I faced, we've come through it, and good things have happened, and I would, you know, and so I settled some things at the beginning of 2018 that carried me all the way through 2019, I mean, all the way through 2019. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, as we start this 21 days, and it's not something so you can just check off the box, but you're praying about your year. You're sowing that first fruit, sowing that seed for your year. God's going to speak to you. He's going to give you the plans. It's better to get the plan from him than just to write a bunch of plans. Get it from him. And if you get it from him, it's already blessed. You get it from him, you already know it's going to come to pass. You just got to walk it out. And, you know, I liked what Kelvin was sharing about praying for others. And that's what happens when you begin to pray. Because, I mean, your list, you go through that right away. And what's there to pray about now? We're praying, you know, say we're praying for an hour. You start praying for others. And when you start praying for other people, they get in your heart. And I'm talking about maybe even your enemies or people that you don't like as much. They get in your heart. And suddenly you want good things to happen for them. God changes your heart. And, you know, I'll get into that here in a moment. Just the beauty of us coming together before the throne. Together, we're all there. We're before him. And that love and care for each other. I mean, isn't that the kind of church you want to have? Church family? Don't you want to have a church home where we fellowship, we care for each other, we look out for each other? Prayer and time with God is going to help all that because he is love. And when you're with him, what's on him rubs off on you. And it doesn't just happen overnight. It's a process. But when you spend time with him, what's on him will come on you. Kelvin mentioned peace, love, peace, joy. Anybody want some more of those things? Provision, healing, strengthening, encouragement. Anybody need some courage? The first corporate prayer is found in Acts chapter 4. And let's turn over there. Thank you, Kelvin, for sharing that. Acts 4, starting at verse 23. And you remember the story of Peter and John at the gate called Beautiful? There was that lame man, and he was begging and asking for money. And Peter says, "Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And the man is healed, and it causes a big stir. And so much so, it gets the attention of the religious leaders. And I don't understand this, but they don't like the man being healed. So they bring Peter and John before them, and they threaten them. But because of their position with the people, they don't do anything further than that. But, I mean, how could you not be happy about someone being healed? And so as we get into Acts 4 here, verse 23, it shows the response from Peter and John of being threatened by the religious leaders. Acts 4, verse 23, after they were permitted to go, the apostles returned to their own company and told all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they had heard it, they lifted their voices together with united mind to God and said, "O sovereign Lord, you are he who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that is in them, who by the mouth of our forefather David, your servant and child, said through the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the heathen, the Gentiles, become wanton and insolent and rage, and the people imagine and study and plan vain, fruitless things that will not succeed? The kings of the earth took their stand in array for attack, and the rulers were assembled and combined together against the Lord and against his anointed, Christ the Messiah. For in this city they have actually met and plotted together against your holy child and servant Jesus, whom you consecrated by anointing both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to carry out all that your hand and your will and your purpose had predestined, predetermined should occur. And now, Lord, observe their threats. Grant to your bondservants full freedom to declare your message fearlessly.'" This is the corporate prayer here. "While you stretch out your hand to cure and to perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, This is amazing. The place in which they were assembled was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. And I got several things I want to say here about this. First one is, you need a company. You need a company. You need companions of faith. You need people that when you're attacked, when you're in trial, and Eddie was talking about that. I mean, I'm not prophesying this, but most likely something's going to happen. And I said this last week, if it doesn't happen to you or your mate or your family, it's going to happen to your dog. Someone you know, it's, you know, is going to be going through something, and you know, you're going to need help. And it is good to have companions. It's good to have faith friends. Bible says that iron sharpens iron. We need each other. So a group of people you can share with, share what's going on. And that's what the word fellowship means. Fellowship means sharing. Sharing your life. And we need people that will stand with us for God's best in any situation that we're dealing with. And so not only will you have people that will stand with you, but you're going to stand with them. And so I just want to encourage you, and I know you're here today, but this is not a time to be isolated. This is not a time to be without a church family. The enemy loves to work on isolated people, to attack, you're vulnerable, you're on your own. That's what he likes. But God wants us, we need each other like never before as we go into 2019, and to know that. And look at the response of the people, of the companions that Peter and John went to. Their inclination was to come together and pray. Isn't that something? That was the response. Is to come together and to pray. And as they begin to pray, they begin to magnify and praise God. And many times we'll do that when we come together. We'll have praise and worship. And why would you do that? Because God is bigger than the problem. He is there to help. He's our source of supply. He's ready, willing, and able to help. And so we look to him. On our own, we're not going to make it. But in him, through him, by him, we will. We will overcome. The Bible says we're more than conquerors in Christ. And so we're lifting him up. We're making him bigger than the problem, bigger than the situation. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And we don't need to forget how big he is and how good he is. We need to be reminded of that. But so it's interesting, when they begin to pray, they don't pray, wipe out the Jewish leaders. Get them, God. Strike them down. Lightning bolts from heaven. You don't see that in here. Nothing about removing them, getting them, killing them, hurting them. And so this is interesting in this, what they're praying about. They prayed they would be more bold. Is that something we think about, to pray in a trial? I mean, that's almost like the last thing. But they're praying for boldness that they may be able to speak the word of God boldly. Now that is very interesting in light of our lives. What do we do? And so they pray for boldness and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of Jesus. And so I don't know about you, but any kind of things that I pray that causes a building to shake, that might be something good to pray, continue to pray. They weren't praying about revenge or getting anybody or all the different things that our flesh wants to pray. But they prayed for boldness, they prayed for miracles, and they prayed for miracles to be done through them. And it caused the building to rumble and to shake. When we come together, and this is so vital, and it's so hard, and I know we're all busy, and you're like, well, why can't I just pray at home? And we need to do that. But there's something about the body coming together that creates more power. When we come together in unity, come together, more spiritual power is released. You can get more, I've seen this, I can get more done in an hour of prayer in a corporate setting than maybe a week of prayer or more on my own. Why is that? Because there's more power released. The Bible says that one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. Now, I was an accountant. I thought 1 + 1 = 2. But in the Bible, 1 + 1 = 10. When we come together, more power is released. There was so much power amongst those companions, that group that day with Peter and John. There's so much power. It shook the building. And so when we come together, expect the power of God there in a greater way. And here's the next thing. God answered their prayer. Now, we've talked here about launching our prayers from the platform of God's Word. 1 John 5 talks about if you pray according to His will, He hears us. I think we can learn some things here from Acts chapter 4. God answered their prayer. When our prayers aren't selfish, our prayers aren't just all about us, our prayers aren't all just about our needs being met, but He answered their prayer. It says they were bolder. If we pray about boldness, we'll be bolder. Who wants to be bolder 2019? Who wants to be timid and stay home and cower in fear 2019? Anybody? Boldness is fearlessness. Boldness is confidence in God. Boldness is stepping out and doing things you've never done before. Boldness is Peter stepping out of the boat and walking on the water. Boldness is not being comfortable and just doing the same old thing. Boldness is getting out of the rut. The enemy is all about fear. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to be timid. Oh, you can't do that. You'll never be able to do that. That's just not who you are. Well, he's a liar. Lies. I'm tired of listening to his lies. And I'm tired of following those lies. It's time to step out. I mean, God has got so much in each one of us. Do you ever get glimpses of your potential? I get it. I see potential on people when I'm ministering. But it doesn't matter. Well, I mean, it can help a little bit. I can encourage you. But it doesn't matter what I see. It matters what you see. God wants you to reach that potential. And the thing about boldness that we see in the Bible, boldness produces miracles. Anybody could use a miracle? Who likes miracles? Miracles are God coming on the scene and changing something supernaturally. Now, every time a prayer is answered, that's a miracle. Supernatural things are happening. We're having a lot more miracles than we realize. But God wants us to have more. That when we pray to expect it to come to pass, He's got more miracles. And I'm believing in 2019 we're going to see more miracles. Miracles produce fruit for the kingdom. Miracles produce changed lives. Miracles get attention. Miracles open the door for the gospel to be received. We've ministered to thousands on the street, and we've shared the gospel and talked to people about becoming believers, and they're like, no. Don't want your Jesus. Don't want all that. But then we ask them about prayer, and they've got a pain in their body, and pray for them. Then they're healed, and suddenly they're, tell me about this Jesus. A miracle opened the door for the gospel. A miracle gets people's attention. A miracle settles the issue. Read the Bible. The Bible is all about miracles. And miracles have not passed away. Some preachers say that, or some groups say that. They have not passed away. In fact, God is in the miracle business. He's wanting to do miracles today. He would prefer 2019 to be the greatest year of miracles in all of history, but he can't get his people to believe it. He can't just... Are we doing okay today? Is this all right? God cannot move in the earth unless his family, sons and daughters, give him the right and the permission to move. He cannot do whatever he wants to do in the earth. Our will is greater than his will. I mean, his will is for the hospital, for everybody there to be healed. But then no one's going to be healed unless a believer goes there and ministers to somebody. He wants to work in our neighborhoods. He wants to work in our schools. He wants to work in our businesses. He wants to work in this city. But he works through people. And we need bold people. We need fearless people. We need people with confidence that are willing to step out and maybe not even knowing all that they're doing, maybe even willing to make some mistakes. You can't learn without making mistakes. You're not, and let me just tell you, settle this issue. You're not going to do it all right anyway. And just because of God's grace, it happens. You're not going to get it all right. But do something. Give him some space. Pastor's all riled up today. Because I see potential. I see what could be. And that's what I need to preach, is see what could be, not what is. Don't preach what is. You preach what is, you continue to have what is. I want better. God's got more. We got to have believers believing. That's what we need to be doing. And when we hear the word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You get that word in you and it starts building up faith. Then you start talking to him. He's the God of the impossible. He wants to do impossible things. Look at all the impossible things he's already done. He's just getting started. Don't give up now. Don't give up hope now. We got a fresh start in 2019. The slate's clean. I told you last week, we drew the line in the scorecard. Another thing about corporate prayer, and you have it in the word, corporate prayer produces unity. Common unity is one of our values here. Good news. It's the value of God's. But unity, read about it, do a little study on it in the New Testament. They call unity one accord. It means one. Coming together as one. And every time you read about one accord in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, good things happen. It's followed by miracles. It's followed by salvation. It's followed by the power of God moving in a significant way. When there's one accord, good things occur. Corporate prayer builds unity. So don't come for yourself. Come for someone else. Come for the body. And you know, the Jewish folks, the reason why they did so well initially with things of God. Now, their problem was the law, but what they had down was community. They were under such persecution, they knew how to do things together. And that worked out well for them if they could get the whole love aspect working, get the law, get rid of the law, and walk in love. I mean, they had a strong thing, you know, a strong community. But after this corporate prayer, the Bible says, keep on reading, there was no lack. It affected them financially. They were more generous. There was a great power to witness. They were bold in sharing the gospel. Then it says what I really like, and we could do, and I have weeks on this, there was great grace upon them all. It got to a place in great grace upon everybody. I want that. If it's in there, I want it. It just sounds good. Great grace. Not just grace, great grace. Let's say that. Great grace.
Great grace.
Let's say this together. We want great grace.
We want great grace.
And we'll study to find out what it means, but we want it. It's in there, we want it. But it came after corporate prayer. Let me tell you about what some of our prayer sessions will look like. We always, talking about corporate prayer here, someone's going to lead. Usually we have scriptures on a board or something like that, or a theme of what we're praying about that day. Usually we'll have a little lesson on prayer. Those are good. 21 lessons on prayer would be pretty good, just in that alone. Now, each leader is going to be different. I like to start with praise and worship. And then I'll begin to pray what's on my heart, maybe the theme, begin to pray what I know or what God's leading me to pray. Then I'll begin to pray in the Spirit and continue to pray. But then I got my Bible, got my notebook, listening to Him. What do I do next? Do you want me to read the Bible? Want me to praise? Want me to pray in the Spirit? You want me whatever you want me to do? All along, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me. Now, the people may be kneeling, they may be sitting, they may be standing. Some like to walk. There's freedom there. But you have to start. So come join us tomorrow. And like I said last week, not one moment in His presence is wasted. You have everything to gain, nothing to lose. Let's just start off 2019 in a different way. Let's get out of the rut. One thing, be in His presence. Individual and together. What can happen? Come in one day and the building's all messed up because it was shaken. That'd be kind of cool. Leave it to Nate to figure out how to fix it. Praise God.